Our help is in the name of the Lord, who made heaven and earth, who keepeth truth forever, and who never forsaketh the works of his own hands. Amen. Grace be unto you and peace from God the Father, through the Lord Jesus Christ, in the communion of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Congregation, let us sing together of Psalter 439. The stanzas 2 and 3. Yet in my care, my grief and pain, I ever, Lord, with thee remain. My hand is clasped by thine forever. And what follows? Psalter 439, the stanzas 2 and 3.
Thank you.
a portion out of God's holy word, which we wish to read together, can be found in Genesis 23. And afterwards from the Confession of Faith, article number 2. Genesis 23. And Sarah was 127 years old. These were the years of the life of Sarah. And Sarah died in Kiriath Arba, the same as Hebron, in the land of Canaan. And Abram came to mourn for Sarah and to weep for her. And Abram stood up from before his dead and spake unto the sons of Heth, saying, I am a stranger and a sojourner with you. Give me a possession of a burying place with you, that I may bury my dead out of my sight. And the children of Heth answered Abram, saying unto him, Hear us, my lord. Thou art a mighty prince among us. In the choice of our sepulchers, bury thy dead. None of us shall withhold from thee his sepulcher, that thou mayest bury thy dead. And Abram stood up and bowed himself to the people of the land, even to the children of Heth. And he communed with them, saying, If it be your mind that I should bury my dead out of my sight, hear me and entreat for me Ephron the son of Zohar, that he may give me the cave of Mapilah, which he hath, which is in the end of his field, for as much money as it is worth, he shall give it me for a possession of a burying place amongst you. And Ephraim dwelt among the children of Heth, and Ephraim the Hittite answered Abram in the audience of the children of Heth, even of all that went in at the gate of a city, saying, Nay, my lord, hear me, the field give I thee, and the cave that is therein I give it thee, in the presence of the sons of my people give it I thee, bury thy dead. And Abram bowed down himself before the people of the land. And he spake unto Ephron in the audience of the people of the land, saying, But if thou wilt give it, I pray thee, hear me. I will give thee money for the field. Take it of me, and I will bury my dead there. And Ephron answered Abram, and saying unto him, My lord, hearken unto me. The land is worth 400 shekels of silver. What is that betwixt me and thee? Bury therefore thy dead. And Abram hearkened unto Ephron, and Abram weighed to Ephron the silver, which he had named in the audience of the sons of Heth, of 400 shekels of silver, current money, with the merchant. And the field of Ephron, which was in Machpelah, which was before Mamre the field, and the cave which was therein, and all the trees that were in the field, that were in all the borders round about, were made sure unto Abraham for a possession in the presence of the children of Heth, before all that went in at the gate of a city. And after this, Abraham buried Sarah, his wife, in the cave of the field of Machpelah before Mamre, the same as Hebron in the land of Canaan. And the field and the cave that is therein were made sure unto Abraham for a possession of a burying place by the sons of Heth. From the Confession of Faith, Article Number 2. By what means God is made known unto us? We know him by two means. First, by the creation, preservation, and government of the universe, which is before our eyes as a most elegant book, wherein all creatures, great and small, are as so many characters leading us to contemplate the invisible things of God, namely his eternal power and divinity, as the Apostle Paul saith in Romans 1 verse 20, all which things are sufficient to convince men and leave them without excuse. Secondly, he makes himself more clearly and fully known to us by his holy and divine word, that is to say, as far as is necessary for us to know in this life, to his glory and our salvation. Let us try to ask the Lord for a blessing. Lord of the heavens and of the earth, when we draw nigh unto thee, as feeble, as sinful, as unclean creatures, then it is so necessary each time by renewal that we may receive a profound, a deep impression of whom thou art. And then we have heard from the writings of our forefathers based upon the Holy Scriptures that we may know thee by two ways. And then in the realm of nature and thy creation and in thy preservation and government, which we may behold in a special way in this day, where thou causest the wind to blow, and there is no one upon the earth that can say unto thee, what doest thou? Or that can stay thy hand, Lord. Then we also remember the needs of the thirsty earth. We may acknowledge thee for the moisture which thou wast given. Wilt thou provide for us and our children, that there may be food for man and beast, and with a deep impression that our sins are great and manifold. Then thou wast sent the judgment of the virus upon the earth. We remember all those that are sick and all those that are afflicted, but all, Lord, thou wast many more judgments by which thou can afflict the earth. Thou can also afflict the earth with famine. Oh, may it please thee to grant that repentance unto us and our children with a confession of our sins and a crying unto thee, but, oh, Lord, out of the realm of nature, then we can never learn how we must be saved. And then it is pleased thee to grant unto mankind the precious gift of thy holy word, where thou declareth unto us that thou wast created us perfectly, our deep fallen Adam, our wretched and lost condition, but also a way whereby we and our children may be saved, and that is by the work of a triune God, O Lord. Then in the realm of nature thou causest the wind to blow. Wilt thou also blow with the work of thy Holy Spirit amongst us and our children? Wilt thou also make us thirsty as the dry earth? Where when the earth is thirsty, then it cracks, then it opens up, as it were, crying unto thee for moisture, O Lord. By nature our heart, then it thirsts after the things of the world, and then it thirsts not after thee. But when thou worketh by thy Spirit, then in beginning, then we receive a knowledge of thee, and the greater that knowledge may be, then thou hast a people that may love thee more, that may trust, that may serve thee, that tender, dependent life, and then to learn what sinners we are, black, vile, unclean, worthy to be cast away from thy presence. But, Lord, that thirsty people, they may be given to seek thee early. Wilt thou work those wonderful works amongst us? And may it be in this afternoon that thou may bless thy holy word to that end, that souls may be pricked in their heart, and then they shall become thirsty after thee. But, Lord, and not only by the first time, but also by renewal, each time by renewal, to grant unto thy children those lively exercises for thee and for thy righteousness, for that righteousness which is to be found in thy dear Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. May the prayers, may they be multiplied to that end in this dark and evil time, that thy kingdom may come and that thy name may be glorified, O Lord. Thou hast promised to bless the foolishness of preaching. To that end, may it please thee to do it in this afternoon hour. Wilt thou grant a hastening for our life's sake? We have heard out of thy holy word of the death of Sarah. Then she was given to be on this earth for many years. But, Lord, there is only a step between us and death. And to that end, may we be given to seek thee while thou mayest be found. Wilt thou teach us to number our days and apply our hearts unto wisdom? Lord, remember thy church over the length and the breadth of the earth. May there be a rich and a large ingathering on this Sabbath day. It is a day which thou hast given unto mankind, when we may in a special way tend to the needs of our never-dying soul, when we may lay our labors aside. Lord, remember the established churches. Remember our theological school, the students, the instructors. Remember in a special way in this day the student that may speak an edifying word. But, Lord, remember all thy servants, because each time is a new time, and thy true servant shall learn more and more that without thee they can do nothing. that they need that precious mediator as prophet, priest, and king. Remember all mission work. May the earth be filled with the knowledge of the Lord. Ah, Lord, we live in a time, many places, where thy word has come, where thou hast wrought with thy Holy Spirit, where there have been flourishing congregations, but where the candlestick of thy word has been removed. Wilt thou then grant amongst us and our children that candlestick may not be removed, but that it may shine brighter and brighter. Remember our mission field. Remember thy servants. Remember the team. The seed of thy word may be sown. Wilt thou grant a rich blessing. May it please thee to take the veil off the beloved for the Father's sake, ah, Lord. May there be amongst us that have experienced by thy Spirit that they are such a Jew, trying to be saved by their works, and then it is so indispensable, so necessary, that veil is taken away. Wilt thou remember, wilt thou uphold, wilt thou encourage, wilt thou comfort the persecuted church in so many places upon the face of the earth. Remember all those that may bring thy word to the ends of the earth. Lord, then we commend unto thee the young couple who were united in holy matrimony this past week, who have begun life's journey together, where it may be the first Lord's Day as husband and wife. Ah, wilt thou bless them together, and may this Sabbath day, and may it be an unforgettable Sabbath day, and may it please thee to be their refuge and a very present help in trouble. Oh, above all, may they be given to experience those rivers of God, which may glad the city of God. Wilt thou remember all of our young people? May it please thee in due time to grant them a spouse with which they may travel through this time around the old truths and around the old ways. Lord, then by renewal we remember all the mourning ones, widowers, widows, orphans, those that have brought children, other dear ones to the grave. Wilt thou continue to comfort them? All may the callings be sanctified. Remember all the elderly ones. Remember all under the physician's care. Lord, may our eyes be upon thee in this afternoon hour. May it please thee to grant Aaron's and hers. Graciously take away everything that could be a hindrance. Remember those that could come to thy house. Remember those in their dwellings, when they may listen along. Lord, wilt thou be a wonder-doing God? Ah, may the prayers be multiplied in this serious time, that many among young and old, ah, Lord, we all need the same thing, a solemn thought, when one soul has to go lost, for a never-ending eternity. And therefore, O Lord, come down then with thy Spirit. Thou knowest that if we are not wrought upon, that we shall continue on that broad way, dead in sins and trespasses. But thou hast declared in thy word, oh, it is by free and sovereign grace that there is a church that must and shall be gathered May the church be gathered in this day. Wilt thou forgive us of all of our sins? In Jesus' name, amen. Psalter 135, the five stanzas. Hear this, all ye people, hear. Earth's inhabitants, give ear. All of high and low degree, rich and poor, give heed to me. And what follows, 135, the five stanzas. Thank you. and this afternoon hour, with the help of the Lord. Then we wish to ask your attention for the chapter which we have read together, namely Genesis 23, and we shall read the verses 1, 2, 3, and 4. And Sarah was 127 years old. These were the years of the life of Sarah. And Sarah died in Kiriath Arba, the same as Hebron, in the land of Canaan. And Abraham came to mourn for Sarah and to weep for her. And Abram stood up from before his dead and spake unto the sons of Heth, saying, I am a stranger and a sojourner with you. Give me a possession of a burying place with you, that I may bury my dead out of my sight. Our text words speak of the death of Sarah, the wife of Abraham, with two thoughts. In the first place, after a long and eventful marriage, and in the second place, followed by an honorable and orderly burial. The death of Sarah, the wife of Abram, after a long and eventful marriage, followed by an honorable and an orderly burial. Beloved congregation, we read in this chapter, and Sarah was 127 years old. These were the years of the life of Sarah, and Sarah died. We read already in Genesis 5, 8 times, each time by renewal, and he died. And I read in Hebrews 9, verse 27, and it is appointed unto man once to die, and after that the judgment. I read in Genesis 2, the verses 16 and 17, that the Lord has spoken unto our first parents, the day that thou eatest thereof, thou shalt surely die. In the original Hebrew, it actually says, then dying, thou shalt die, implying congregation, that we are all a dying people. Then concerning the age of Sarah, it is the only woman mentioned in the Bible whose age is mentioned at her death. Then the Lord has granted unto Sarah many years. A long marriage, we read of her, that she together with her husband, that they have left the Ur of the Chaldeans, have spent some years in Haran, and that they have come to the promised land. That Sarah was 65 years old when she left Haran. If they have dwelt in Haran 5 years, then she was 60 years when she was called out of the Ur of the Chaldeans. It is very well possible that an Abram and a Sarah, that they were married more than 100 years. And yet everything here upon this world that comes to an than when we read at the beginning of this chapter, and Sarah was 107 and 20 years old. These were the years of Sarah. Then they had much to reflect upon. Then how necessary and profitable it is, congregation, that we pause many times in the busyness of life. What a blessing the goodness and wisdom of the Lord, that he has given one day and seven the Lord's day, because otherwise, congregation, then we would work 7 days a week trying to gather the goods of this world. But the Lord in his wisdom has given 1 and 7 to especially tend to the needs of our soul. But that does not exclude the other 6 days. Then how necessary and profitable it is that we may be given to pause and to consider the loving kindness of the Lord in our life when we have been spared, husbands and wives, parents and children. We have the families in our midst where there are those empty places. And now for an Abram and a Sarah, oh, to be given to look back and end each time by renewal, when they were given to consider how they were idol worshippers in the Ur of the Chaldeans. Then they were given to rejoice in the free and sovereign grace of God, in the work of the Holy Spirit, because as idol worshippers, they have never asked for the living God in that land. But then it was the set time, oh, it is true, also for an Abram and for a Sarah, when they thought of their former life, reasons to be ashamed, reasons to be humbled, and reasons to be much at the footstool of the Lord. But now in the life of Abram and Sarah, that wonder has taken place. They have left their country, their kindred, and their family, and they have set their face Zionwards. The Lord has spoken unto them. And that is now the most important, congregation. Has that also now taken place in our life, when we may be given to reflect upon our lives, and if we deceive not our poor souls, that there has come a time that the Lord has become too strong for us? Because when we read in our text, and Sarah died, we are all on the list, congregation. There is that appointment here in the time. Boys and girls, we can have appointments, maybe a dentist, a doctor, and that we are sick, that we got to call it off. Can even be, must never be, we must be punctual, even forgotten. But concerning that appointment of death, there is none that can escape. We read in Job 14, that the Lord has appointed the days, the months, the time, that we cannot pass. Oh, and Abram and a Sarah, then they were given, they could reflect upon the faithfulness of God. Oh, that he has been so faithful, notwithstanding their sins, their transgressions. We have heard God's word is so honest, also lays vividly open the sins of the saints, and that notwithstanding their sins, that the Lord has still been a faithful God. Oh, for a Sarah. Then she has lived so many years, 90 years, that she was so barren, and that she had no answer concerning that promised child. how she must have wept, she must have cried, but now the Lord in his goodness, when she may receive her Isaac, then she had an answer to those accusers. Then she could point them to that faithful God where one word has not fallen to the ground, and on the other hand, ashamed because of her unbelief. Then as Sarah, then she was privileged to enjoy an Isaac for 37 years. And Sarah was 120 years old. These were the years of the life of Sarah. And then we read that as Sarah is mentioned in the heroes of faith, these all died in faith, and not having received the promises, but having seen them afar off. It is true, Sarah and Abram have received Isaac, but Christ was not yet born. That true seed would be born in the future, and were persuaded of them, and embraced them, and confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims upon the earth. Thus, an Abram and a Sarah have experienced this was not their long home. They were traveling to that long home, and in the land of Canaan it was promised unto them, but that they were strangers and that they were pilgrims. And when we are strangers and pilgrims, congregation, then it can be seen. If we think of Pilgrim's Progress, then Christian and faithful, they did not choose to go to Vanity Fair. We must not come in the places of vanity, but we must go through this world. And then the way to that celestial city, that went through Vanity Fair. And then the people in Vanity Fair, then they could see that Christian and faithful, that they were strangers and that they were pilgrims in the first place because of the language they have spoken, that is the language of Canaan, that is the experience of the people of God, in the second place by what they purchased, and in the third place how they were dressed. Then concerning their married life, oh, it is true. Also in the life of Sarah, then she has spoken unadvisably with her lips. But then in 1 Peter 3, verse 7, there it is written, even as Sarah obeyed Abram, calling him her Lord, whose daughters ye are. Then also in the life of an Abram and Sarah, they have learned to sinners with everything that they have received. They were sinners still. They have also lived in the land of the Philistines. And nevertheless, oh, what a blessing. Husband and wife, both traveling to that celestial city. It's true, their deaths were at different times, but then in eternity, both to be given to praise the Lord. Husbands and wives, how is that with you? Where are you traveling to? Are you still both traveling on that broad way to destruction? What it shall then be at the end and in eternity, because in hell there is no love, only hatred. And then you shall have to curse one another forever and ever. May you be given to both. Then earnestly beg the Lord. Do we not read of an Abram and a Sarah that they were older when the Lord has converted them? When the Lord has wrought grace in one, then the necessity of earnest prayer, I know we cannot bind nothing upon the heart. And in our time especially, then it seems that we can let our fellow man go lost so easily. But may the prayers be multiplied. What shall it be? The great day of judgment, when husbands and wives, when they shall see one another, the one on the right, the other on the left, an eternal separation. Ah, for an Abram and for a Sarah, then they were both traveling by the grace of God. They have been placed upon that narrow way, traveling to heaven. We read in the scriptures, a city that hath foundations. Oh, and Abram and a Sarah, they also had much that would draw them away. We have heard before that Abram had 318 servants. And people in those days, they were not different than us. Thus then you can understand also among those servants that there were difficulties, did not get along, maybe envy, many other things. Thus how much there was in the life of Abram with all his cattle, with all his sheep, to draw him away from the things of the Lord. But we have also heard, oh, the Lord, work does not stand in the way, of course. And we must have our heart in our work. Abram was also diligent. But our difficulty is that we set our heart so much upon it. And now we read, and Sarah was 127 years old. These were the years of the life of Sarah, and as Sarah died, we have no continuing city. The Lord is so free. The one the Lord takes away as a little child. Think of the little child of David and Bathsheba. Another one as children, think boys and girls, the daughter of Jairus, maybe you were 12 years old, and she died. Others in the strength of their years, think of King Uzziah, that God-fearing king, that he died on the battlefield when he was 39 years old. Other ones become older, but also in our life there shall be that end, and that it shall be heard. Our name shall be mentioned, and so has died. The Lord has many ways to take us out of this life. The one by sickness, another one by an accident, as King Ahaziah, who fell through the lattice. We have mentioned the king that has died in the way of war. When we read the Old Testament, many times the numbers of those that were slain on the battlefield, we can reason so easy and so quickly about all families, all souls to eternity. Other ones by hunger, by famine. There are others by natural disasters. Think of the ark. Only Noah, 8 souls in the ark. And the other ones were ushered by the way of water into eternity, we read of a soul that he has taken his life. May the Lord graciously watch over us, that we do not despair of this life when we have difficulties, that we may lay it all before the Lord. And Sarah died in Kiriath Arba, the same as Hebron. It is clear that Abram and Sarah, that they have moved northward from Beersheba, where we have found that Abram has dwelt, that built that grove where he has built an altar. They were living in Hebron, 127 years old. When we read the scripture, then there is written much concerning the shortness of life. Job, in Job 14, verse 1, man that is born of a woman is a few days and full of trouble. In Job 29, there I read that our life is compared to a postman. Boys and girls, then you can picture it on a pony, on a horse, and that you see him coming and he is gone. That is a picture of our life. In Psalm 39, verse 5, there the psalmist has said that our life is as a hand breath, and he has even declared that our life is as nothing before thee. In Psalm 90, verse 9, as a tale that is told, sometime children, I hope many times, hope fathers and mothers, that you read good books to your children, not tales. And then those books, they have a beginning and they have an end. In verse 10, the days of our years, they are 70 years. And if by reason of strength, they be 80 years, and we fly away. I read in Isaiah 40 that our life is compared to grass, as the flower of the field. And in those eastern countries, when a scorching wind would blow, then in the morning that flower was so fresh and so beautiful. In the evening it was cut down by the wind, and the place could not even be found anymore. Then in James 4, as a vapor that comes and disappears, this congregation, the shortness, the brevity of our life, the appointed time has been set by the Lord. It is clear in the scriptures that death is certain, and after death, a judgment and eternity. And now what is our life? The Lord granteth this life unto us and our children, that we may be converted, that we may be turned unto the Lord. Ah, that has happened. That is the most important in our life. Not to despise all the temporal things, but there is one thing needful, that we may become what we are, and that is a poor, a guilty, a damnable sinner, that we may learn to thirst and hunger after righteousness, and that by true saving faith we may come to a true knowledge of the Son of God. What a solemn thing, what solemn words. And Sarah died. What a solemn thing that death is. I have read of an emperor of Germany, Charles V, that he has often thought of death. And to that end, he has given command on a certain day that he would be placed in the coffin and that there would be a funeral procession and that they would bring him to the cemetery. But then, of course, then when he came to the cemetery, maybe to leave him for a while, but that the coffin was opened and that he could still arise. But he thought to himself, oh, maybe even that king was troubled, that he would not think of death enough, that he lived so much for the timely things, that perhaps that would help him, that he would be given to meditate upon death more. Ah, the necessity, the work of the Holy Spirit, that we may learn to die before we have to die, because congregation, when the Lord works and we learn who the Lord is and we learn our sins, then that people, then they are troubled and they are exercised with death. Then it can even be that such a seeking soul, that they are in the presence of God's people who have been led further, and that they are sometimes surprised that they speak of the future as if it shall certainly come to pass, that they think to themselves, but maybe by that time we shall all be laying in the grave. And to that end, the necessity, the prayer of Moses, the man of God, in Psalm 90, verse 12, teach us to number our days that we may apply our hearts unto wisdom's ways. O young and old, do you think of death, and do you beg the Lord that he may grant that one thing needful? Oh, for a Sarah, it is true in the Bible, then we do not read of so many deathbeds, of the words that were spoken. Of course, we have the deathbed of Jacob, where in the way of prophecy he was given to bless his 12 sons. We have the crucifixion of Christ. Think of Stephen, the words that he was given to speak. But in the Bible, then we do not read of so many words that were spoken at death. And why is that, congregation? That is very simple. Because as we live, so we shall die, it is true. We have one example in the Bible of a deathbed conversion, that is the thief on the cross. And our old fathers have stated one example that none need to despair, but only one example that we do not wait, because we do not even know whether we shall receive a sickbed. Weaken so suddenly the brittle thread of our life that it can be cut off. And how is it now with our life, congregation? What is our life? Can be seen, boys and girls, that we have that tender fear of the Lord, that we have received a new heart that shall be seen in our life. Young people, what is our life? Have we now made that good choice of a roof that is not the foundation? And the children of God shall learn that their choice shall not satisfy justice. Nevertheless, when that sweet choice is made, then it shall be seen in our life, older ones. What is our life? Can it be seen that we feared the Lord? Can it be seen in our life that we are strangers and pilgrims. May I ask you, congregation, what gives you now the greatest delight and the greatest joy in your life? Is that now the Lord and His service and His blessings and the way that the Lord holdeth with His people? And Sarah died. We are all on the list. Are we prepared? That is the question. We think about it. A whole chapter devoted to the death and the burial of Sarah. And in this chapter, then we read that is all that Abram has ever owned. A burial plot for his wife and for his family. Also the first chapter in the Bible where there is made mention of money, our second thought, followed by an honorable and orderly burial. Let us first sing. Of Psalter 244, the stanzas 1 and 2, Lord, through all the generations of the children of our race, in our fears and tribulation, thou wast been our dwelling place. And what follows? Psalter 244, 1 and 2. the death of Sarah, the wife of Abraham. After a long and eventful marriage, and now secondly, followed by an honorable and orderly burial. A congregation, what it must have been for Sarah. The day of her death, when soul and body were separated, and when her soul was taken to the Lord in eternal glory, to be delivered from self, from the world, and from the devil, whereas Sarah shall never speak unadvisably with her lips, whereas Sarah shall never have trouble with that awful unbelief, but where she was taken up into glory. To that end, Abram did not have to mourn as those that have no hope. And also in the Old Testament, it is true. Everything was more veiled. In the New Testament, further and richer explained. But also in the Old Testament, then for the saints, for the church, there was a knowledge of the blessed portion, which the Lord has prepared for his people. When we think of Job, who is believed to have lived the same time as Abram and Sarah, when he has sat on the ash pile, with his deep suffering and with his great loss. Then in Job 19, the verses 25 through 27, then he was given to declare, "For I know that my Redeemer liveth, and although my flesh, oh, it shall be eaten by worms, yet in my flesh my eyes shall see him." Thus then it is clear that also in the Old Testament there was a knowledge, read the Psalms, the blessed portion of the children of God, that the day of their death shall be better than the day of their birth. It is true. We read in 1 Corinthians 2 verse 9, "Eye hath not seen, ear hath not heard, what the Lord has prepared, neither entered into the heart of man, what the Lord has prepared for those that love him." And now we read of an Abram. And Abram came to mourn for Sarah and to weep for her. We read of many funerals in the Bible. And then we read each time of weeping, of mourning. We do not read of singing. Of the Lord Jesus Christ, when he has come on the grave, where Lazarus was buried already for 4 days, then we read, boys and girls, maybe you know the shortest text of the Bible, John 11, verse 35, "And Jesus wept." Then we read in the Scriptures different tokens of mourning. We have heard on prayer day of the inhabitants of Nineveh, a sackcloth, ashes, and that word mourning in the Hebrew language, there is a word that has a twofold meaning, not only to mourn, but also to be of a dark color. Then in our Dutch Bible, it is translated more as black than in the King James Version. Thus, therefore, Also, how fitting and proper that mourning ones are dressed in black to remind our fellow man that we are a mourning people, that it has pleased the Lord by the hand of death to take a beloved one out of our midst. When we consider the day and age that we live in, then alas, oh, it is still a blessing when on a funeral, it is true, there can be people that have shed so many tears that it seems that there comes a time that there are no tears left. What a blessing it is when we may live in love with one another here upon the earth, and when the Lord takes away that those empty places, that they are sorely felt. We live in a day where, alas, also with death, with funerals, that there is so little impression of death and of eternity in our day. No longer a funeral, but a memorial service to speak of the deceased, even called a celebration of life. In this chapter, a whole chapter devoted to the burial of Sarah, and therefore the necessities that with death and with funerals there may be soberness, there may be solemnity. And to that end, we do not have flowers on funerals. And then it is good to think of these things when we are still healthy and strong. Because with the death of a beloved one, then many times the emotions run very high, and then we do not think so clearly. And to that end, then it is necessary that we remind one another. This is not done intentionally, but let us be consistent when we say to our fellow man, no flowers on the funeral. Then let us also not put flowers on the cemetery stone. The Apostle Paul has written in 1 Corinthians 15, verse 37, then he compares our body to a kernel of grain. And to that end, then it is profitable and necessary that we think of these matters when we are still healthy and strong. And now in this chapter, then we also have much instruction concerning the funeral, the burial of Sarah. And Abram stood up from before his dead. Then Abram has experienced that the living, that they cannot dwell with the dead. Oh, of a Sarah we even read, when she has become old, that she was fair to look upon. But when death comes, then all that beauty, all that fairness disappears, and then we are called to be buried. We live in a day where many are not buried no more, where many have themselves burnt to ashes. Different reasons. In big cities, they shall tell us, not enough room, but they have room for everything else. Another one will say, 'tis too costly, but they do have money for the pleasures and the things of the world. Undoubtedly, there are those that have a secret hope, if their bodies are burnt to ashes, that the Lord shall not be able to find those ashes, that they may be resurrected but for the Lord nothing is impossible. Then we have clear instruction in the Scriptures, and to that in congregation, if there is someone that shall be cremated, then we are not to attend, not to show our agreement, nevertheless called upon to empathize. Then we can still visit such a family in their home or in another place. But when we read the Scriptures, then in the first book of the Bible, we have the example of the burial of Sarah. Do we not read in Genesis 3, verse 19, "Dust thou art, and unto dust thou shalt return"? Then in the Scriptures, when one may receive an honorable burial, that was a great honor and a great privilege. And in the Scriptures, then fire, that points to the justice of God. Think of Sodom and of Gomorrah. Think of the two sons of Aaron who were consumed by fire in Leviticus 10. Oh, think of Achan, when he is taken of the forbidden goods of Jericho, and when he was found out. Then he has come in the presence of the children of Israel. He was one that has troubled Israel. And then he was gathered with his family, with his animals, with his tent. And then the children of Israel have stoned them, and then they were burnt with fire. We read in the book of Amos, word is written, Moab was punished for burning the bones of the king of Edom. When we think of the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, then he was laid in a sepulcher. And now concerning the arrangements, then we read in the furtherance of this chapter, oh, a desire in the land of Canaan, because the Lord has promised unto him that that land would be the possession of a seed, and also that grave where he could also be buried and his descendants, because in this grave, then also an Isaac and a Rebekah, also a Jacob and a Leah would be buried in this grave. And then we have heard it, that in Abram, that he went to the sons of Heth, that is a son of Canaan, and then he has went to those inhabitants, and then he has declared, I am a stranger and a sojourner with you. Give me a possession of a burying place with you, that I may bury my dead out of my sight. Then we do not read that in Abram has went to the sons of Heth and says, people, listen. The Lord has called me out of the Ur of the Chaldeans, and he has promised me this whole land. Thus, that land actually belongs to me and my descendants. Then the Lord does not come with that promise. Then an Abram has not come with that promise, but he was given to trust in the Lord. What I read in Proverbs 21, verse 1, that the king's heart is in the hand of the Lord as rivers of waters, that he turneth it with whithersoever he wilt. Then an Abram was given to trust in the Lord, that these inhabitants, these people, that he would be inclined to give a portion of that promised land where he may bury his dead. And the children of Heth answered Abram, saying unto him, hear us, my Lord, Thou art a mighty prince among us. And it is clear that Abram, that he was a light in the land of Canaan, that life of Abram is spoken, that people in Canaan, that they could see that Abram has worshiped the living God, and that the special blessing of the Lord rested upon his labors. Then they have said, thou art a mighty prince amongst us, in the original, that even refers to be a prince of God. Can that also be seen in our life? When we fear the Lord, cannot remain hidden, even though we do not speak so much. And shall be seen in our life what our heart goes out after. For in Abram, the inhabitants of the land, they were given to view him as a prince of God. The fear of the Lord shone through his whole life. Hear us, my Lord, thou art a mighty prince amongst us. In the choice of our sepulchres, even those children of Heth, they were thinking about death. They were speaking about our sepulchres. And then further, then they were given to say, none of us shall withhold from thee his sepulchre. Thus they each had a sepulchre picked out. They believed that they would die, but that thou mayest bury thy dead. And then we have heard of the transactions between Abram and the children of Heth. We have heard that they have come to the gate of the city. In Bible times, that was the place where business was transacted. Think of Ruth 4, with the marriage of Boaz to Ruth. And then in Abram has asked the children of Heth whether they could be the mediator, whether they could ask Ephraim for a certain sepulchre, a certain field, where he may bury his dead. And then in Ephraim, he was willing to give it free of charge, not to ask any money. Abram did not take advantage of it. Do we not read in Matthew 7, verse 12, as we would, that men would do unto us, so do unto us. And then in Abram has said, no, oh, undoubtedly, that there may be a transaction, that there may be proof that the descendants later could not say that that portion of land did not belong to Abram, and therefore the price set at 400 shekels, and Ephraim has said, oh, what is that betwixt me and thee? Oh, then for an Ephraim, in the sight of those burial plots, with the thoughts of death, then he could say, what is now 400 shekels, not to despise what the Lord gives, the many good things that the Lord gives, but in the light of the cemetery and in the light of death, what is 400 shekels? Paul has written to Timothy in 1 Timothy 6, we have brought nothing into this world, and we can take nothing out. But also, what a blessing that in Abram and in Ephraim, the Lord has both richly blessed them, that they were not so tied to the mammon of this world, that they could say, what is that betwixt us, between thee, between me and thee? And to that end, the transaction was made in the sight of witnesses, that they may have proof. And then we have mentioned congregation. It is remarkable that the first time that money is mentioned in the Bible, that is about a burial plot. Then also this chapter has been written for our instruction and from our learning. Then the money was weighed, and we have heard it. Then an Abram has buried his dear wife, Sarah. A large empty place. What a tears must have been shed, all for a Sarah. Delivered from everything, her soul in glory, left the mourning husband behind. The death and the burial of Sarah, young and old. We are all traveling on a journey. And that journey shall not continue forever. It shall end at death. And also for many when Christ appears on the clouds of heaven. And what is now our life? We have said in the scripture, we do not read of so much what was spoken on a deathbed, but there is much written in the Bible concerning the lives of people. And what is now our life? Have we become now a true seeker? That is necessary. Because eternal life that begins for God's people here below. And when we think of death and of the cemetery, then we think of eternity we all know. We cannot even begin to fathom, congregation, what it shall be if we shall have to go lost. And more so, under the proclamation, behold a man, a suffering Savior that is hung on the cross with outstretched arms. And there has never been one poor sinners that have been turned away. Congregation, may we be given to think often of the goodness of the Lord, that He is so worthy to be served. Such a blessed service. The service of the Lord. Oh, may it be the goodness of the Lord that leadeth to repentance. And Sarah died, and she was buried. An appointment, it is appointed unto man once to die, and after that the judgment. Ah, for Sarah was eternal gain. And for Sarah, it has been fulfilled after a journey of 127 years. Many blessings, also many trials. Oh, how long she has waited for an Isaac to be born. But for a Sarah, it has become true. What we read of the Church of God in Revelations 21, verse 4. And God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes, and there shall be no more death, and neither sorrow nor crying, and neither shall be there any more pain, for the former things passed away. That is the blessed portion of the people of God. May we be given to seek the Lord while He may be found. Amen. Let us close. Lord, Thou hast recorded in Thy holy word concerning the death and the burial of Thy child Sarah. where thou wast taken her soul unto thyself, awaiting the time when body and soul shall be united and together to forever praise thee. Lord, we must all die. We must all appear before thee. And we cannot appear before our Maker as we are born. Ach, Lord, wilt thou work lovingly and irresistibly by thy Holy Spirit. Ah, we need the same wonder that Sarah has experienced, where thou was called her irresistibly, and where she has left everything behind and followed thee and her husband in sown and unsown ways. Ah, Lord, we need to receive the pardoning of our sins through the meritorial work of Christ Jesus. Lord, do then a great work amongst us and our children. We have heard of a mourning Abram and also a mourning Isaac. Lord, then by renewal, then we commend all of our mourning families unto thee, with that large empty place or places in their hearts, in their lives, in their homes, and where also the cemetery has become a different place for them. Wilt, O grand traveling mercies, watch over us in this day. Bring us under the means of grace by renewal in this evening hour. Forgive us of all of our sins in Jesus' name. Amen. Our closing psalter, Psalter 422, stanza 8. Remember, Lord, how frail I am, how few my years. My life is like a cloud that comes and disappears. And what follows? Psalter 422, stanza 8. receive the blessing of the Lord and depart in peace. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face to shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. Amen.